the quarterback conversation and what Hugh's going to do is still dominating the conversation. Let's see what he has to say about it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it on this Tuesday. Just getting the week started, man. Just getting the week kicked off, getting the week rolling. Mondays are Hugh's big media day where he talks at, he has his 11 o'clock press conference, and then he has Tiger Talk Monday evenings. Said a lot of interesting things, talked a lot about quarterbacks, talked a lot about re-recruiting the roster. And just that the whole aspect that goes into it and how much it weighs on him and the systems they have in place to kind of manage these things. We're going to discuss those and then talk a little hoops at the end, have a little bit of hoops talk. That's obviously the most positive thing that's going on at Auburn right now. And we're going to have fun. We're going to show it some love. So before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round. Get a double up deposit bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you another $100 back on top of it to play with. You can do that up to $1,000. And then hit that sports book. Bet any way you like to bet, any sport you like to bet, any way you like to bet it. Parlays, teasers, live betting, doesn't matter. They have it. So definitely check them out. Show them some love at mybookie.ag. So I talked about it just a second ago. Yesterday was the big media day, and the conversation continues to be what happens at quarterback. That continues to be sort of dominating the headlines, dominating the message boards. What do we do? I think we should do this. I think we should do that. We talked about it yesterday. We did a whole pros and cons list. And then that was, I think, the second question Hugh was asked was about quarterbacks. So let's see what he has to say, and we'll kind of break it down.
I mean, Peyton's played solid. He was not able to practice last week with the shoulder, and we'll see how this week goes with that and with the others getting the reps and kind of go from there. But when I say that, it's certainly not an indication that I don't think he has played pretty solid here as of late. So, but you start kind of thinking big picture, and that's not always the easiest thing to do, because you know you love your players and you want what's best for all of them. That gives us the best chance to win the remaining three games, and obviously we'll start seeing how the health is first and foremost.
He repeated a very similar line to what he said last Wednesday, which really opened my eyes. Now it's really fascinating that you can hear. You can listen, you can ask 5-6 different people that watch the exact same clip and take their interpretation, and you may get 50% answers one way, 50% answers the other way. He started off by complimenting Peyton on how solid he's played, which I think is it's a strategic and political at the same time, because you remember last time when we went through this scenario where there may be a quarterback change, he was hard on Peyton. He was hard on the decision-making, you know, talking about the turnovers. And I think a lot of people felt like I think the quote was he threw Peyton under the bus. So now he's doing the opposite. He's really building him up and kind of, you know, just talking about how he's played within what they've asked him to do. Now, that doesn't mean that what they've asked him to do doesn't limit them offensively, but what they've asked him to do, he's done, you know, fairly decent. Solid is what he said. And I think that's probably a fair assessment, is they've really dumbed things down, but it's dumbed it down so much that the offense is just becoming incredibly predictable and just clunky, and it just doesn't work. But what he's been asked to do within that has been, you know, fairly solid. But he keeps reiterating, he's reiterated this point twice now, He basically said that, you know, so he's played solid, but we have to start thinking about the big picture. To me, there's no other way to interpret that. You have to start thinking about the big picture. There's no other way to interpret that other than you have to start looking at the future. You have to start looking at the direction of the program and what's the biggest benefit for the program moving forward. What's the biggest benefit for Auburn? Is it playing Peyton, or is it, you know, is it playing Peyton, or is it moving on with one of the younger guys, even though technically Peyton hasn't necessarily done anything on the field from what we've asked him to do to really warrant maybe benching him. Now, granted, that's not necessarily my opinion. That's just, I'm trying to go through the train of thought here. I don't think you say that. I don't think you say that if you think Peyton is the guy for the last three games. I said yesterday's show, Peyton's missed a whole week of practice. And Hugh came out and said it, that was the case. And that, you know, when you start talking about big picture, clearly you're looking at the different options that you have with the younger guys. Now, I honestly don't see how that can be interpreted any other way that they're making a change this weekend. That's the way it feels to me. Now, I don't know if it's going to be – I feel like it's going to be Hank. It could be trying to work Walker in as well. You heard him say that Walker – later on in the press conference that Walker played a little bit last week. They did a lot of threes. They got threes, a lot of reps, and Walker threw a game-winning touchdown pass in a scrimmage that they had. But just continuing to sort of, you know, to me, sort of prime the pump that we're going to see a change this weekend. Now, he did mention at the end that they're going to see how the health of Peyton is before they make that decision. So I think on Mondays, typically they have sort of their cleanup slash walk through with pads on practice. I think they'll really, you know, they'll see what they got. They'll see what he can do, see what his shoulder can do there. Maybe even go into Tuesday, which is a little bit of a heavier practice load. Tuesday, Wednesday are the really, really the work days. But Hank got a full week last week of practicing with the ones, so it wouldn't be a huge deal for him to, you know, give Peyton a few reps, and then if his shoulder's not there or they just feel like they want to move in a different direction, you put Hank right in there and go with it. And I think, honestly, after really, really thinking on it and honestly doing the show yesterday and doing the pros cons list, I think it makes the most sense to go with Hank moving forward. And just because more than anything, it shows you where you stand going into this offseason and how important it is to get that quarterback room fixed this offseason. Even if it's a Band-Aid that holds you over 1 year to get you ready for 2026 and this good quarterback crop of high school kids that you've brought in, assuming you hang on to Deuce, I think it makes the most sense. Not only for the starter for 2025, but also, hey, maybe we got to bring in somebody else for competition. Maybe you got to bring in somebody else. So we'll see what happens. But to me, continuing that conversation just shows that to me, it's just clear as clear as it could be to me that they're looking at making a change this weekend. So I think that's definitely something to watch. I don't know when it would be announced. I don't know if they'll do it via that, you know, making Peyton questionable or doubtful on the availability report. I don't know if they'll do it via that, or we won't know until the game. I don't really see any benefit. It's not like you're trying to trick Louisiana Monroe, but we'll see what happens. But I could be wrong, but it feels like we're setting up for a quarterback change. We'll see. Before we go on to the next point, I want to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. No matter what you have going on from a saving standpoint, from a retirement standpoint, there's no reason not to know for sure that you got everything figured out. So go to retirementresults.com/plan. Give Ford Stokes a shout. Make sure you're not paying senseless fees. Make sure you're protected from the IRS. and make sure the products you're using are going to their max potential. He's the one that can help you out with that. So check him out at Active Wealth Management. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him we sent you. And make a friend at the same time. Ford Stokes. Love that, David. Love that, dude. All right. Let's go to the next clip talking about re-recruiting your roster and the portal and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's already started. I mean, you're already actively having to, engage in conversations with recruiting your current roster, which is not much fun and not something that I know of any coach that's really for, but it is what it is. And so most of that is going through our personnel office and our own victory team, and I'm thankful for them. And that I don't have to engage in most of those, because that would be really, really, that would be very hard to do and difficult, because, you want to have genuine, real relationships that that are built on trust and communication, and that's more and more difficult to do if you're having to handle every single facet and aspect of today's game. So, I mean, obviously you're involved at some point. I'll have to be, but you're hoping that a lot of that can be handled by, our people that are involved in other areas outside of just the coaching.
So, obviously the roster is going to be recruited elsewhere. And Hugh said it's already started. So, in other words, he's already catching wind of other schools in some form or fashion, reaching out, trying to, smelling a little blood in the water and seeing what they can do. And there's some guys I'm sure that these other schools would love to have. I'm sure some other schools would love to have a Cam Coleman or a DeMarcus Riddick or, a Malcolm Simmons, any of these young, Jay Crawford, any of these young guys that have performed at an extremely high level. I think that would happen even if we weren't good. Okay, I would think it would happen if we were good. I would think that would happen no matter what. It's tampering's going on. You see kids leave from national championship teams. You see kids leaving from playoff teams. So that's not a surprise, and it should not be a surprise at all that would be happening when you're 3-6, and that record is what's probably making this whole situation a lot harder than it needs to be. Hugh's a really good recruiter. He's a really good at connecting. He's really good at relationships. And I think by and large, the kids really do love him. The guys really do appreciate him, and they do have true connections. But that only goes so far. And I will say that more than likely, it's helped keep a lot of the class together, the recruiting class together. And I think it's probably helped keep some guys that it's probably going to help keep some guys that, more than if it was anywhere else, they'd probably look at leaving. So, but I got to go back to this, man. If you're just 500, instead of 3-6, if you're 5-4 or 6-3, we're not having these discussions. You're not having, you'll still have some guys reaching out. You'll still have some dudes trying to get, trying to chip away and see if they can pick off a couple of your guys. But it's not going to be nearly as intense as if you just have a halfway decent product on the field. Now, why that it's been so bad, we can discuss that for days and weeks. But as far as the recruiting your own roster goes, a lot of success cures a lot of this. Success extinguishes a lot of the flames, and you got to figure out a way to do it. And I understand this season sort of is what it is, but moving forward, like, this is a very vital off season from a portal standpoint, from a coaching staff standpoint, to get this thing figured out. So that you're not having to waste. You heard him talk about. He's glad he has this off the field staff, the personnel staff, the on to victory, because they have to handle a lot of, they handle a lot of those conversations, probably way more because of the record than should be. Otherwise, he would have to be doing that as well as everything else. And it would, that more than likely, they wouldn't be good conversation, good conversations. That's the way he didn't say it, but I think that's what he was trying to say. He's like, because if I was having to handle those two, they wouldn't be good. Those wouldn't be good conversations. So you're happy you got that going on, but the reason they're so important is because you haven't been good. So that's gotta change. If that changes, it makes everybody else's job easier. This roster becomes way more expensive with every loss. I said this after the Arkansas game, and it made a lot of people mad. I'm sorry, I said it right before the Arkansas game. You lose this game, everything becomes more expensive. Well, they've lost several more since then, and that's the case. I know there hasn't been probably not any just blatant like coaches calling kids, but I'm sure they've been like, hey, didn't you go to school with Cam Coleman? Hey, didn't you – isn't that your cousin, or aren't you from that area? Don't you know Cam? Don't you know Malcolm Simmons? Or hey, don't you know DeMarcus Riddick? Aren't you kind of from that area? Y'all played each other. Y'all grew up together. Why don't you give him a call? Why don't you send him a DM on Twitter and see if he'd be interested in coming? If you don't think that's happening from players or high school coaches or things like that, hey, if there's a spot at so-and-so school and you wanted to go into the portal, would that be something you'd be interested in? There's no doubt that's going on. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's going on the other way too, with, you know, if you're not doing it, you're going to be behind, because it's not like everybody's so innocent and then the portal opens up and then it's like, okay, let's go to work. Let's figure out who we want. No, you've done a lot of work on the front end from a scouting and from a, I'm sure, putting out feelers the most legal way possible. But again, if you're winning, you don't even have to be winning. Like, you don't even have to be like undefeated or anything like that, I don't think, because of how close Hugh is with his players. If you're just 500 or just a little bit better, this is a whole bit different conversation, and we're not seemingly stressed out and we're not worried, because hey, you got a product on the field that's showing a little bit more promise or a little bit more excitement. So people can see the vision. Now you're just really having to sell vision with not a lot of results. And that's tough. And it makes it easier to be recruited against, and it makes it tougher, makes it harder to recruit for. So luckily they do have those systems in place, and I think it's going to benefit. I don't really see anybody yet. Haven't really heard anybody yet that would be a super big flight risk that we'd be missing. But I do know I'm sure there's conversations being had. I'm sure there's people reaching out. So we'll see how that all plays out, but it's definitely something that's on Hugh's mind, and they're working on it. But I tell you what, if you could go 2-3, or if you could go 3-3 over the next couple of games, it'd go a very, very long way at retaining and building some excitement back. I want to finish up with something positive. Let's talk hoops. The AP poll dropped yesterday, and Auburn checks in at number 5. They go all the way from 11 to 5 in the AP poll. And, you know, the AP poll is fun because that's the one where they put the little number by your name on Saturdays and on Wednesdays. So if it says Auburn 5, that's the AP poll. That's the one everybody seems to go by. But I think the AP poll is the dumbest thing ever because it's completely opinion-based. There's no real statistical aspect to it. There's no analytical aspect to it. And honestly, the reason Auburn's number 5 is because they started at number 11, not because they think they're the number 5 team in the country. But hey, if you think they're the number 1 team in the country, 1 week after the season starts, then, and you started them at 11, now you're wrong. You voted wrong. Or now it sort of puts a little damper on the poll as far as the seriousness of it. Oh, we were wrong, so we fixed it. So I don't take a ton of stock into it, but it is fun. It's a good talking point. And it's big. It's big to be a top 5 team this early in the season. And you knocked off a top 5 team. That was a top 5 in the AP poll. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely means something. It's something you can sell. But to me, I'll always watch KenPom in their rankings, and Auburn's number one in KenPom. It's real time. It's not voted one time a week. It's changed after not just your games, but everybody's games. So after, you know, it's changing daily because there's college basketball almost daily. So that's going to be – that's the one that I watch the most, because I think it's the most accurate and the most up-to-date. But still – also, it's fun when they don't rank you number one, and then you got talking points, and you can get mad, and then you can, you know, get on Twitter and bash people and have fun with it. But so that's one good thing about the AP poll. But I will say, jumping from 11 to 5 is a huge jump. Typically doesn't happen. And I don't think there was a ton of top teams being upset. I think, you know, Houston's the biggest one, and they were upset by Auburn. So they moved us ahead of guys that won, if that makes sense. So it's fun. It's the basketball team's on a really good trajectory early. Now you've kind of figured out who your go-to point guard is. The next two games are going to be big to sort of solidify that. You got Kent State tomorrow night. Then you have UNA next week, who UNA, I think, is actually 3-0, playing really good basketball. So that could be a fun game, a good little test before you head to Maui. So those next two games, really figuring out the rotations, with Tahad maybe being the feature guy or first point guard off the bench, playing the vast majority of the minutes, just honing in how that whole situation works now, because I don't think there was much of a plan of him playing significant minutes at the point. And I think that's definitely going to have to be something now, because he can not only bring the ball up the court and facilitate the offense, but he can create offense from the point guard position, which Denver and JP are just a little bit behind there. They can facilitate the offense. They can kind of get everybody in their sets and get the plays running, but it really hampers their scoring. And I think Tahad helps both of those guys, honestly, as far as he can score and he can create better looks for definitely for Denver. And I mean, even JP, if JP were to play some two, he's still going to have to play some one. And it's still obviously going to be a battle. They'll be able to push each other, but Tahad's the guy, and you got to be the guy moving forward. So we'll see what happens. We'll be doing a post game. Me and Zep, or at least me, we're going to have a show tomorrow, a hoops pod tomorrow, breaking down this matchup, breaking down the weekend and just the impact of it with Zep. And then we'll probably go live after the game too. Definitely me, if not me and Zep. So we'll see what happens. But guys, I really appreciate you listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. A lot of fun stuff going on this channel. You got my show every single day. You got Village Vice 3 to 4 times a week. And you got the Barn Hoops pod, and there's probably some more coming. So hang it. So definitely, if you love Auburn content, you love Auburn athletics, we got some good stuff coming. So definitely subscribe and hit that alert bell so you're ready for anything new that were to drop. So guys, thanks again. Subscribe to the Barn, Auburn.com. Get ready for portal season, recruiting season, signing days coming up, and you'll stay up to date there as well. I really appreciate it. We'll be back every single day this week. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Pod. I'm sorry, the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.